part of the ESPN family.
We welcome you back into the final hour of the program here on a Thursday with Facts and Childress and John Hyde on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and Adams Code Roofing text line are open. We'd love to have you with us. Going to hop into some Tiger Net Thursday action with Grayson Mann. Grayson, appreciate you joining the program as always, man. Glad to have you here.
It's good to be in here. I was able to hang out in the studio instead of scrolling through like TikTok on my car for 20 minutes because I'm chronically early. But it's doing good, man. Hope you do well as well.
Yeah, could certainly be better here in Tiger Town. But in all seriousness, we got a great weekend of football on the horizon. I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off, and we're not going to start with Clemson. The Steelers beat the Patriots this past weekend. John Hyde, the floor is yours.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have more Super Bowls. We have now the most recent win. I mean, it just shows. It's just a much better franchise in Pittsburgh than it is in New England.
Right.
You know, because we don't employ Ramondre Stevenson.
That's true.
Many are saying that the franchise in New England is really just the franchise of one player, and that would be my takeaway. But then again, I'm just a guy. What do I know?
This is an assault.
Where would the Patriots be as a franchise without Tom Brady?
I don't know. Not very good.
What about if Drew Bledsoe stayed healthy? Would they even have one Super Bowl right now?
Well, I will add that a certain Drew Bledsoe did take Pittsburgh down in that 2001 AFC Championship game.
He most certainly did.
He deserves his flowers for
was
that.
Was that before both or everybody I'm doing radio with this morning, before all y'all were born?
I
remember that game very vividly.
I was maybe a few months old.
I was not alive.
I was a few months old.
Yeah, I wasn't alive.
Goodness gracious.
In all seriousness, though, I thought the Patriots looked like the better team until you started to account for things that win and lose you games, such as turnovers and penalties. Like, the Patriots outgained the Steelers by almost 170 yards. The last three quarters of this game, it felt like the Patriots were significantly better. But with that being said, the Steelers are in kind of a similar position to my Eagles, John, where I feel like you guys haven't really even played a good game yet, and you still have a winning record. And that's got to be something that's encouraging. Like, you have not hit your stride or rhythm offensively, and you're 2-1. If I would have told you that preseason, you would have taken it and ran for the hills.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The question is, does it show up across the pond Sunday morning against Minnesota? We talked about that game yesterday. I think Minnesota's going to win this thing against Pittsburgh over there in Dublin.
Have you talked to Faxon about Carson Wentz? Because
we've brought it up, yes, as the greatest football player to ever come out of the Midwest and the best Philadelphia Eagle that has ever drawn breath.
That is
next to Tanner McKee.
That's right. That's right. You can't forget about Tanner McKee.
Wentz is the best QB I've ever seen play for my team. I will say that. But
you're nuts.
And also, he's the most talented man. To be honest,
what year were you born?
I was born in 2002. I saw McNabb. I grew up on McNabb. He choked in the Super Bowl. I'm not a McNabb guy, man. We went from McNabb. Let me see if I can roll this off the top of my head. McNabb, Kevin Cobb, Vic, Mark Sanchez, Sam Bradford, Wentz, then Foles with the whole fiasco, then Jalen are the quarterbacks that I've seen
Kevin
in my lifetime.
Cobb.
And I think 2017 Carson Wentz is the best of all of those guys. And again, that's not like a super crazy high bar, right? Like Kevin Cobb, Mark Sanchez, Sam Bradford, he's clearly better than those guys. He's definitely better than Jalen Hurts, I know that much. The only debate that I would hear for that would be McNabb. And I wasn't old enough to like fully process McNabb, and I'm aware he put up some numbers, but screw that guy for running T.O. out of town to this day. How do you run off T.O.? You went to the Super Bowl.
That was very self-inflicted.
Man, that's just so annoying. Like, the dude went out there and balled out in a broken leg on the Super Bowl, and then you're beefing with QB1. Like, can both of us have some maturity so you can sack some Super Bowls? Anyways, not the topic of itinerary here, but I do love me some Carson Wentz, and I think it's going to be a good game this upcoming weekend over across the pond. But Grayson, your Patriots have a matchup between the team that I've kind of adopted as my second favorite team in the Carolina Panthers. You guys are 6-point favorites because Bryce is throwing to the bad news Bears on the outside. Tet McMillan's questionable. Hopefully Xavier Lee gets out because that's a positive thing for this football team. And just what are your thoughts and your analysis on this game this upcoming weekend in the world of the National Football League?
This is one of those games where I feel like New England has to get, and you get Buffalo next Sunday, but there's that stretch in October where they play Tennessee, New Orleans, and Cleveland in a three-game stretch. And you think you get two of those on the road, but you get that final one at home, which I'm excited to be there for. But this is one of those games, it feels like on paper, New England's better. I think Drake May, this is that perfect step to have the offenses progressed really well. It feels like within the flow of the scheme that Josh McDaniels wants to run, they've run it really well. And you've been there for two games where I feel like the offense has really been clicking. It's just the turnovers. It's the stuff that bad football teams do. This feels like the 2021 Pats, where early on they were losing a lot of games they shouldn't have, and they figured it out around October and really got on a high stretch. I feel like this team has that potential, especially with Vrabel as head coach. That was really one of the more souring losses to Pittsburgh, because it really felt like they were the better team, as you alluded to.
Yeah, it definitely felt like the Patriots were the better team, but I will say this. We have a three-game sample size now on New England, and I don't know if they're that much better than the Panthers, just with my evaluation. I know you're a fan, and I know you're definitely entitled to your opinion. First week, 2013, you take it on the chin to the Raiders. It's still the Raiders' only win of the season. Geno Smith has looked horrible in two games and really good in one game. That one game was against the Patriots' defense, where he threw for 362 yards through the air, and Brock Bowers lit you up as the superstar tight end for Las Vegas. They get a 20-13 win over y'all, and again, it's the same issues that we've seen repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly for the Patriots. Red zone offense, turnovers, penalties. So we go and shift gears to the upcoming Miami Dolphins game, where you guys got a big-time win, right? Drake May leads a game-winning drive. You're able to pull it out late after winning the fourth quarter by 3 points. 33-27 victory over the Dolphins, who are arguably the worst team in football. Again, their quarterback lights you into oblivion. Tua Tagovailoa threw for over 300 yards in this game, with 315 through the air. And another thing I want to hyperfixate on with this Pats team and why I don't trust them, running back situation is the worst in the NFL, and you can't run the ball. So you go forward to the Steelers game, and I do think that, funnily enough, this was the best performance of the Pats season. It just came in a losing effort because of those turnovers and penalties. So I don't know. I'm conflicted on how to feel about this one. I think that the injury issues for Carolina are definitely going to put a fork in the road as to their chances of winning this football game. But just to be completely honest with you, Grayson, and you're more than willing to disagree, and that's fine. I think that these are smack dab even football teams when they're healthy. I don't see much deviation at all between my analysis on the Panthers and the Patriots. I think both are going to hover the 7-8 win mark this year, and both have quarterbacks that are works in progress. And while May seems like he's more developed than Bryce as of right now, I also think he has a better infrastructure around him. He has a true wide receiver one in Stephon Diggs, who's been good this season. I think you need to throw him the ball more.
They do.
And then, for this Pats team, it's really just going to be, can they get out of their own way, is my big question this weekend. But from an X's and O's standpoint, and then I'll give you the mic for a couple minutes here to give your take. This is my issue from a schematic standpoint and from a play style standpoint with backing New England this weekend. Carolina's playing like the best secondary in the NFL right now. They're grading out as the best corner tandem in the entire league. Their safeties are playing really quality football. There's definitely a question there at linebacker. I think that's the undeniable weak link of the defense for the Carolina Panthers. So if I've got a play for you guys this weekend, if any of you guys are underdog guys, whatever it may be, Hunter Henry over. They really struggle to cover the tight end to the Carolina Panthers. I think that's the key to this game, because I love Carolina's ability to be able to slow down those receivers on the outside. I don't trust New England to run the ball against my grandparents, much less the Carolina Panthers with grown men and NFL caliber talent and size up front. But I think Hunter Henry could be that X factor, where you get him in the seam on those crucial third downs, and Drake May has that security blanket to pick on some of those linebackers that could be matchup problems. So I think this is going to be a low-scoring rock fight, and I kind of view it as a coin flip, to be completely honest with you. Carolina's playing good ball right now, man. They're 49-0 over opponents in their last six quarters.
Yeah, this is where I'll push back on that secondary thing with the teams that they've played. And it's a Jacksonville team that seems to be a mess right now with the receivers. I think they'll lead the league in drops again. Arizona, we're finding out that Marvin Harrison Jr. may not be as advertised. There's some sort of mental lapse going on with him, and that's really impacted this Cardinals receiving core as a whole. And then Atlanta's a mess on its own. Drake London's still nagging, I think, from an injury. Michael Penix isn't really finding them as much, and he mentioned it as well. When these guys are open, I got to hit them, and he certainly wasn't doing that on Sunday. This is one of those first times that you had mentioned, skill position-wise, New England's probably had the advantage, and this is probably due to the injuries as well. First time in 2 years I've heard somebody say that about the Patriots offensive core. But I agree with you in that sense that Carolina and New England are probably in a similar spot, where they're probably going to be 6-8 wins, which is a massive improvement for both squads given how they finished last year.
Yeah.
So I like New England in this game just because of some of the injuries. Christian Gonzalez coming back is a big deal especially for a Panthers receiving core that's their best receivers play Hunter Renfro on Sunday. No slight to Renfro for sure, but you want to have Tech McMillan out there if he can make it. So I view these as very similar teams, like you said. This is a game that I think we find a lot about both teams. And you put 2-2 in the driver's seat, that's going to be in a big spot here in the next coming weeks.
Please help Bryce Young, for the love of God. Oh my gosh, he's throwing to nobody. He's throwing to nobody. And seriously, like, we love Hunter Renfro. I would probably take a bullet for that guy because of the experience in 2016 where I was there in person in Tampa. And I'm sure a lot of people on the text line share that sentiment. If that's your primary option going into a 2025 NFL game, you're in trouble. you're in trouble. And that's kind of the big thing for Carolina right now, is just the inability to get and stay healthy. Leggett going down again, it's another injury, but I think that's a positive to this football team, undeniably and inarguably at this point by eyes and data. They need Tet really bad, and they need their most underrated player back in Jalen Coker. That guy's one of the most underrated players in football. They desperately need Coker back to be able to elevate this offense to the heights that they want to. I do think their rookie tight end has flashed. Javion Sanders as well at tight end has flashed. He's been a good player so far this year. And I have similar questions about Carolina's ability to run the football as I do for New England, right? I think I was anticipating a little bit more in the run game from Chuba Hubbard, but with the backup offensive line crew coming in last week, it was by far and away their best performance of the season. Like, Cade Mays needs to be the starting center on this football team for the indefinite future. I never want to see Corbett again. Corbett has no business touching the field at center for this Carolina Panthers team once again. So pass blocking grades. Week 1, 51.2. Week 2, 59.4. Week 3, 68.7. Run blocking grades. Week 1, 62.3. Week 2, 53.8. Week 3, 81.3. Carolina is getting a lot better in real time, and we're seeing it with our own two eyes. That's part of why I'm backing them in this spot, is because I feel like they figured something out identity-wise on both sides of the ball, and I feel like these offensive linemen are really playing motivated football coming off the bench at multiple key positions, and they're fired up to try and earn some starting spots. So we differ in our opinion here. I'm looking forward to watching the game with you, but I'm a Bryce Young guy this weekend. I'm sorry, man.
Breaks
I hate to betray you like that.
Breaks my heart, because you've been saying the words we and our in the man household, and that makes me feel good. Makes me feel good, but I know at some point we got to clash again, and I think that could be entertaining.
We do. It will be entertaining for sure. We will be there no matter what.
That's right.
Kylian Mbappe.
Can't wait.
And definitely excited for that. 654 Roar if you want to check in. All right, Grayson, before we shift gears in the next segment, let's talk a little Clemson football, and we'll carry that into some general college football talk in hour number three. What's new in your world after this past Saturday, man? I mean,
what's new with you, man?
It's obviously not an ideal situation right now, and we've harped on it this week pretty extensively, but with after 15 minutes of NFL coverage and TigerNet Thursdays being a Clemson outlet, we got to talk a little bit of Clemson. So from your perch in the press box, what was the experience like last week against Syracuse?
I think Syracuse was more of just a reminder of that final confirmation of what this team is. It's not a good football team, and it's really jarring. That's the word I keep using whenever I'm talking to friends, family, whether it's for other podcasts, stuff like that. The word jarring comes to mind because of how we describe this team entering the season, entering that hype with LSU. For me, a lot of it, and I know that there's a lot of disingenuous folks out there that like to say that the portal is the problem for Dabo Swinney and that's why this team is failing. I think they fail to recognize that everyone else in that offseason was praising Swinney for doing it his way and having a title contender, getting guys back like TJ Parker, Woods, Klubnik. We could go down the laundry list. They're the same folks that are having the issue with the portal. I think this was supposed to be the I told you so year for Swinney, and what's happened is the execution on the field isn't there. Your quarterback has regressed to a pretty, I don't even know what to say. It's mind-boggling how bad Klubnik has been given what we saw in 2024, and yes, there's caveats there with the teams that they've played, but it's just kind of a puzzling situation and what this team is. There's no identity. The coaching is off. There's just a lot of issues. And sure, there's these player-led meetings that Peter Woods and them are talking to us about at Tuesday press conferences. I don't think there's some magic fix, and I just think that this could be a pretty rough season that it's already been. But I think the continuation of it is just going to continue to go throughout the calendar.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of criticism of Cade Klubnik, and I understand. I think some of that's warranted, some of that's not. Again, people are going to differ in their opinion on the validity of PFF grades. Cade Klubnik was Clemson's best player via PFF grade on offense, so I take that for what it's worth. If you value that, I think it's worth acknowledging. If you don't value that, it is what it is. I love PFF. I think they do a really good job, but I do think that the narrative has been kind of overcast against the quarterback here, just in my personal opinion. I think he needs to play a lot better. I think he certainly can play a lot better. But ultimately, just looking back through the tape and looking back through the grades and looking back through my evaluation process of this football team, my main takeaway is that nobody's really playing
well.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the ultimate takeaway, is just you look on tape and it's just, it's a rough watch, to be completely candid, because there's nothing that's popping. There's no individual player that's popping. There's no individual, moment or sequence that feels like it's jumping off the page. And, out of fairness as well with the Klubnik thing, while I do think he played a lot better than being given credit for against Syracuse, he was also your 16th graded player on offense against LSU. And I think there's a large argument to be made that he lost you that game. And if you win that game, does that change momentum? Does that change confidence? Does that change buy-in? Does that change effort? all of those questions are more than fair to ask, which makes our job fun.
Fun's the word, man.
Fun is the word. 654-ROAR if you want to check in on the phone lines or Adams Co. Roofing text line. Continuing TigerNet Thursday with Grayson Mann right after this.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Serving delicious meals at a fair price for over 50 years, Wendy's commitment to good done right is unwavering. For decades, they've served up great deals to feed the whole family. And nowadays, they're bringing you breakfast favorites. The Pretzel Baconator, the Biggie Bag, and you can't forget the Frosty, all available to order in the palm of your hands with the Wendy's app. Doing the right thing in the right way is the Wendy's way. Download the Wendy's app and visit your local store today.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings, and we've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's ELKMONT tradingcompany.com. Go Tigers!
You really don't need a special occasion or a special reason to shop Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall. Step inside the state-of-the-art Reed's Jewelers showroom and discover what tens of thousands have discovered. Award-winning customer service, exquisite diamonds for her, elegant Swiss watches for him, and professional expertise from the team at Reed's Jewelers. Jewelry and relationships that last a lifetime. That's Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall next to Belk. Online at Reeds.com.
Sometimes it's the little victories that mean the most. Those everyday celebrations that bring a smile to our faces and joy to our hearts. At Ingles, we know there's no one you'd rather share those miniature memorable moments with than family. Ingles, all the ingredients for family.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. Jerry, the Beacon opened back in 1946. How many years have we been serving great food at great prices?
Hey, Plante!
70 years. How many folks are we still serving every week?
Hey, Plante!
Well, like you always say, I like my job, but I love my customers. But can you say something other than hey, Plante?
Call it!
Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John White Boulevard in Spartanburg, where the food is still always good since 1946.
The Tigers don't start the season without practice, and neither should your HVAC system. Get the Blue Ridge Heating and Air Tiger Tune-Up Special now and save over $100. Expert service, just $89, boosts efficiency, prevents breakdowns, and extends your system's life. They'll even clean your outdoor coils if they're dirty. Call Blue Ridge Heating and Air today, a preferred Armstrong Air dealer, and mention Tiger Tune-Up for the $89 offer. That's BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
Before you break ground on that exciting project, here's a friendly reminder from Fort Hill Natural Gas. Safety first. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law and it's free. Whether you're planting a garden or installing that dream patio, make sure to dial 811. Your ticket to a safe and worry-free project. Fort Hill Natural Gas supports and recognizes safe digging practices. Your safety is their priority. Dig smart, dig safe. Call 811 before you dig. Brought to you by Fort Hill Natural Gas, where safety meets satisfaction.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam insulation, the most premium insulation option to insulate your home while also sealing any air leaks. Spray foaming the roof deck of your attic can also get you the opportunity to turn your attic into usable space and is the ultimate pest control solution. Right now, you can receive up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. Call Koala Insulation today, 864-867-1779.
Huge savings on Dell AI PCs with Intel Core Ultra processors are here, and they're newly designed to help you do more faster. They can generate code, edit images, multitask without lag, draft emails, summarize documents, create live translations, and even extend your battery life. That's the power of Dell AI with Intel Inside. Upgrade today by visiting Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar, continuing with a double segment with Grayson Mann from TigerNet here as a part of TigerNet Thursdays. If you've got questions, comments, analysis, and more for Grayson or I on the Clemson football team or general college football thoughts, we'd love to hear from you on the text line or the phone lines. All right, Grayson, let's hop right back into the Clemson stuff. I want to ask you a little bit about your evaluation, and let's go position group by position group so far. If you want to report card it, you can.
Okay.
I don't know if that's your style or not. I don't even know if that's my style or not, but let's just rip it off the dome and see what happens. So start with quarterback. If you have to grade Cade Klubnik a third of the way through the season, what would your grade be and why?
I'd probably say a D. I think there's been some bright spots here and there, but again, consistency is the name of the game, and there's just some habits that Klubnik has reverted back to that have put Clemson in a lot of bad spots. And in the moments where he felt like he really could step up LSU, GT, there has been some stuff that I've liked. Went and rewatched that LSU game again. A lot of missed throws in the open.
That game was 100% on Cade Klubnik.
That was as disastrous as you could get. I feel like he's gotten slightly better as the season's gone on, but again, the bar was set so low. So I think I'd probably circle it around a D, maybe even a C- if I'm willing to be nice and be a nice grader. But he's certainly not passing the class that is Clemson 2025.
I think that I would say C to C minus as well would be where I'm at. Texter gets in and says, please ask him about Christopher Vezina.
Sure.
What are your thoughts and comments on Christopher Vezina as of right now?
I think you got to play him. I think that there's a moment in time, and I think that we'll probably get that answer post-UNC. Let's say this. If Clemson loses to UNC on Saturday, there's no reason why CV shouldn't be starting the rest of the way. I think not only you get a different look for this team the rest of the season, but you're trying to get data for 2026. And I think Clemson fans would feel a lot better if they had some data on what Christopher Vezina is going to look like, whether Clemson needs to go in the portal in the offseason, and they got that seven-game structure to say, okay, we like what we have here, or it's one of those situations where haven't seen enough, we're going to bring somebody in to compete, and I think Clemson fans will feel a lot better about the product of the offense and this head of the snake heading into Baton Rouge next fall. It's tough. I know it's a loaded statement.
It's a tough situation to evaluate with Vezina because, like, to be completely candid, and I know Christopher. Like, Christopher interviewed on my 1 hour a night week show before he was even in college, man. I've known CV for 4 years now, and I love CV, the person. I think he's such a good kid, man, and he puts his head down. And he does the work behind the scenes, and nobody's got a bad thing to say about Christopher Vezina. You ask around town, everybody will tell you that kid's a grinder, and he's doing all the right things and saying all the right things. I'm rooted in the belief that if there was a move to be made, the time has already passed. Just to be completely candid, like, there have been quarterback struggles. We have had multiple opportunities where it feels like a logical time to make that move. And it also just, like, takes me back in my mind of the history of Sweeney at the quarterback spot, right? this guy benched Dabo for Tyson Pumachon, or Dabo benched DJ for Tyson Pumachon, who was had no business being anywhere near a P4 program at quarterback, as indicative of being benched at UMass, right? So, like, that's how dire that situation was, and we know the ability of Pumachon, which was not great. If he made that move, then what gives in this situation? That leads me to believe that there's a lack of trust in the coaching staff and the backup quarterbacks. And I think that's a fair and logical assessment to make at this juncture, a third of the way through the season, given what we've seen thus far from Cade Klubnik and his below-par play, comparative speaking to standard, and also there being multiple opportunities to provide that spark. I just think the window's passed, to be completely honest with you, Grayson. And then, you know, you take Sweeney and Riley's comments for what they are, saying that they haven't even been close to making that decision. And I just don't think that this is going to happen this year, just to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where you're right. If they haven't seen enough in practice, which is, it's fascinating to me because in August we asked about Vezina a lot because there was the writing on the wall that eventually this is going to be his job at some point. And they said that he was making a lot of plays in those scrimmages, those inter-team practices where they treat those like the preseason games. And they said they got a lot of great stuff out of Vezina. So where that dropped off, I assume that had to happen sometime this season where the play just hasn't been there consistently. So it just leads you to draw those conclusions that, yeah, I guess if they haven't made the move now, they won't. But if you were me and my, if it was me in my shoes making this decision, you got to get some data to at least see if you got to make a move in the offseason or roll it out with 2026.
Yeah. And I think that's been a big topic of itinerary here is like the quarterback situation for next year. So tell me what you're thinking.
I'm thinking you got to at least bring in something. I like Tate Reynolds as a prospect. I like Kareem Hewley as a prospect, but I think those two, obviously Hewley won't be on campus for another 2 years. Reynolds as a prospect to me is really a raw, mechanically needs a little bit more time in the crock pot. And so I think you would be best suited to bring, even if it's just to compete with Vezina and have some real competition in 2026, that fall camp, you bring in somebody in the spring and summer to see how it kind of all works out. And then what's going on with Chris Denson? That's another name that I think folks have been curious about. Probably still miles away from being able to start, but there is that health of competition that makes everybody better, and we'll see how that all plays out.
Yeah, definitely for certain. All right, let's move to the running back room. What would your grade be for Clemson in the running back situation to date this season?
People are going to like this, but I'm giving him a B+. I think Adam Randall's been one of your more consistent parts of the offense. The only reason I wouldn't grade it higher is because obviously he wasn't given the chance to against LSU, yeah, but there have some pretty backbreaking turnovers from Adam Randall that put Clemson in a hole against Troy, that gave up that game against Syracuse. He's finding the holes more consistently. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but that vision that Clemson had for him, we've started to see that. It hasn't translated into wins, of course, because it's more than Adam Randall on that field, that collective unit. But I've liked what I've seen from him. Do I want to see more from Ezi Amume and Dave Davidson? Of course, but I think for what Randall's done so far, I think you got to be pretty pleased with that part of the field.
Yeah, I would say B+, A-.
Okay.
And I'm going to lean more towards B+. Here's the thing for me. I don't like the way that the running back room has been managed this year. I don't like the fact that Gideon Davidson and David Ezi Amume haven't gotten a chance to get their feet wet. So I think with that grade, it's also just like the fact that you haven't been able to get your guys involved. But you also have to account for the fact that, and I've been deep in the weeds of the data and the research of the film and all this week, you have the worst pass-blocking running back room in Power 4 via PFF. Like, it's atrocious. Like, Randall, you guys know I'm a big eight ball guy. I pushed the propaganda all offseason. I told you I thought he was running for 1,100 yards. People thought I had lost my freaking mind. I told you all summer that this guy's going to get 80% of the snaps plus, and he's going to be your starting running back week one, and he's going to be your starting running back week 12. Guess what? That's going to be true barring an injury. It is. So I was on the money with my eval of Randall as a runner. I still think there's room to grow. Fourth game playing the position. You know, you can make the argument that there are some times where his ball carrier vision and patience could be improved. I think that's more than fair considering the amount of getting up to speed that he's having to do. He can't pass block.
No.
He can't pass block.
I don't think any of them can.
And this is the bigger problem is like, Randall's pass blocking grade is bad. Ezi Amume's is worse. And Gideon Davidson has whiffed on every block he's attempted to have since being inserted into the game, which is why you're not seeing more of him. So That's the reason I'm going B+. I'm thrilled with Adam Randall. I'm over the moon with Adam Randall's production. I wish he got the rock more. Taking the fumbles out of it, obviously, with 2-4 games, which isn't super ideal. But pass blocking has got to improve. And we want to talk about Cade Klubnik, and we want to throw the guy under the fire. Guess what? His O-line unit is grading out as the fifth worst in P4. His running back room is grading out as the worst in P4 in pass blocking. So when you have six guys that are primarily responsible for blocking and they are all horrible at their job statistically, how exactly is the quarterback supposed to play well? I'm not sitting here shilling for Cade, but what I am saying is that anybody that thinks this is a one-player quarterback issue, I do not agree with your assessment of this football team. Could you say that a better quarterback has more wins on the board right now? Sure, absolutely. Could you say that Cade Klubnik needs to play at a higher level? Yeah, duh. We're all watching the same games. Can you take screen grabs and watch film and say there's open receivers? Yeah, there are. TJ Moore's open. I'm watching it with my film and my eyes as well. But at the end of the day, no one on this football team is playing at a high enough level to win right now. And they don't deserve to win. They don't. So when your highest graded player in the Syracuse game is Cade Klubnik with a 70.1 grade via PFF, you have a massive, massive, massive issue because that's not a very good grade. You want multiple guys in the 80s or 90s if you want to be a quality football team and have a chance to continue to win. And that's just the reality of the situation right now. So that's why, long-winded way of saying B plus for me. And pass pro has to improve, and you have to find some level of way to get Cade Klubnik some chip help to get him a little bit more comfortable and competent in the pocket. Wide receivers, go.
This one's a tough one because we've said for a lot of different reasons that they're getting open. I would probably go with the C- right now. I think they've done some good things. Wesco has played really well this year. I said that he's quietly had a good year because obviously there's a lot of noise surrounding this program with the 1-3 and the results there. TJ Moore feel like he was kind of checked out for two games body language-wise. Didn't feel like it was the great. Loved the block against Georgia Tech to set up that Wesco touchdown, and he finally was able to get involved. Part of my gripe, too, is I think you got to play more Tristan Smith. What he showed you against Syracuse, that ability and space, and Riley had even said it himself, for his frame, he does great with the ball in his hands. He's not more than just a grab it by the sideline, grab it in the goal line type of guy. But I think there's just more consistency from this group. They're not winning as many one-on-ones as I thought, and that was what they were trying to do against LSU, was really test that secondary, a young LSU secondary, and they weren't getting it done. There's some good, there's also some bad. C minus is probably where I stand.
Yeah, I would say C.
Yeah.
C to C minus as well, and again, I think a large part of that directly coincides with injuries. I think Antonio Williams going out of the fray really impacted your offense week one, week two, and week three. I also think him having to get some rust off and only playing 45 snaps in comparison to, and only 35 passing snaps in comparison to TJ Moore, who played 66, and Wesco that played 75. Antonio was giving it a go because he wanted to and he felt like the team needed him. He's not 100%. We have not seen 100% Antonio Williams one time this season. Has not happened. So, C. For me, Wesco's had two crucial drops, which people are throwing under the radar. If he catches that ball on third down at Georgia Tech, I think there's a good chance he wins.
They probably win that game, yeah.
So, like, that's, you can't have that. TJ Moore, love the guy. Like, seriously, probably my favorite player on the team. He's picked it up big time attitude-wise in the last couple weeks, and I'm proud of him for that. He's also had some drops, and he's also had some balls where I felt like he could have made a better play on the ball. And you want to talk about Tristan Smith. I think he's doing all he can. I wish they played him more. And then Tyler Brown's been mid, just to be completely honest. He's been mid. C to C minus. So that's where I'm at. Tight end.
I almost want to go and not available because we haven't seen enough of them on the field. I think
Agreed.
Run blocking has been fine. And I asked Garrett Riley about the tight end room of how can you try to get this more involved? And he says they've done well with what they've been given. But what they've been given is what, six catches maybe? We saw OPH make a fantastic circus catch against LSU. Christian Bentinker has gotten some plays when he's been given the ball. But I don't really have a grade when there's not enough data. Really for them, especially in the passing game. I really feel like this offense has mishandled that position by not getting those talented players the ball enough. Give them the rock.
Yeah, for the life of me, I don't understand why we're not seeing more Christian Bentancur. I think he's been uber productive as a run blocker. I think he's been uber productive as a receiver, and I think he's a matchup nightmare for opposing defenses. But again, like, he's not on the field and he's not getting targets, so it just kind of is what it is. Offensive line,
D minus. You could almost even say F.
I would say F.
It's, aside from maybe a couple drives against Georgia Tech, this has been one of the more disappointing parts of the unit. I think Matt Luke's a great coach, but this is just, I think the talent on the field certainly isn't there. It's puzzling. Tristan Lee has been getting completely demolished on that side of the ball. I feel like Blake Miller's probably the only one where I felt like, yeah, he's been okay. But for the most part, this line has been pretty putrid.
Yeah, I think your tackles have been the most disappointing part of this team. And your offensive line looked best with Lee on the bench and Sadler kicked out the tackle, for what it's worth. And Sadler's looked atrocious at guard. So I think there's a reality to kind of take a look in the mirror during the bye week and say, are we playing the right five guys? And I think that's a conversation that needs to be had at this juncture at 1-3. And, you know, again...
What's Thurman's PFF grade just for...
Elijah Thurman on the year?
I feel like he's been playing relatively well when he's on the field, but I could also...
So he graded out pretty horribly against Syracuse. Okay. However, he was one of your best... He was your best pass blocker against Troy, and he was one of your best pass blockers as well in 26 snaps against LSU. So he had a really rough go of it against Syracuse. In all fairness, I think a part of that is his size and weight and moving the tempo, and I think he gave out a gas when Clemson was going that two-minute type of offense, which has to be acknowledged as a part of why the O-line's grading out so poorly. When you're going tempo, the big boys are going to get winded a little bit. That's just how logic works. Right, so I'm going to give Thurman some grace there because I'm really high on his profile long term, and I think he's an uber talented player. All right, before we let you get out of here, let's speed run through the defense.
Sure.
Start with a defensive line up front.
I would give it a D. I think Will Helt's been your bright spot, but overall, I haven't seen much that's inspired. For me, that effort's a big part of that unit.
Yeah, I would say C minus to D plus, and I think effort is the thing I want to hyperfixate on there as well. You're outside the top 50 in pass rush grade this season. Not acceptable with TJ Parker and Will Helt on your team, and Peter Woods, and DeMonte Capehart, and Amari Adams, and Jaheim Lawson, who's been great, and Vic Beaerle, and the line goes on and on and on of 4 and 5 star talent on the defensive line. Defensive backs, we'll throw them all in one category with the safeties as
sure.
well.
Sure, I would give him probably a C plus. I think Avion Terrell's been good.
Yes.
Some of that tape against Syracuse was remarkable. Ronan Hanifin and Ricardo Jones look a little lost at times, but I love Hanifin's effort, and I hate that Sweeney was giving him grief. I know it's a silly penalty, but it looked like he was out there caring and playing really hard, and
yep.
I think that's that'll go a long way for Clemson.
Yeah, definitely agree. And then linebackers, I would give this unit a D-.
If it wasn't for Sammy Brown existing, I would give this unit an F, to be completely candid.
Yeah, so not great. Not great times here in Tigertown. But
1-3 for a reason.
They've got multiple avenues to turn this around as we continue with the season. And I want to do some Clemson content with you because you're here for TigerNet Thursdays. So let everybody know where they can check out your content related to Clemson football.
Hey, you can check us out at TigerNet.com or follow me on Twitter, Gray_Man21. We got a lot of great stuff. We just had a podcast with Trey Kennedy. Really cool and just sort of leadership during tough times and what he was sort of evaluating on Clemson's culture. Definitely a must watch on that front. And we got Fridays with Faxon coming tomorrow. Definitely must watch, because Faxon does some sort of funky pose or dance in each episode. He gets really goofy, and the fans
appreciate
that.
Has happened.
They
yeah.
appreciate that. We break down a really packed college football slate tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Texter gets in and said that Woodaz and Brown have both missed 3 tackles. That's just the reality of the situation. Yeah, you know, with Woodaz, like, I'm willing to give some grace, and I also... Like, here's the thing with the linebackers. I think a part of this has to be accounted for the fact that they were receiving not great coaching instruction the last couple years, and that might have hindered their development. We saw Barrett Carter regress. We saw Wade Woodaz really struggle at times under Wes Goodwin, and then Sammy Brown was kind of introduced onto the scene with Wes Goodwin as his defensive coordinator. So I think there's a lot of intrigue there. With Woodaz, my primary issue is getting his nose too far in the cookie jar as the spy. Everything else is like, you're going to miss some tackles and you can live with it to an extent, but it just kind of is what it is. We'll talk more on the other side. Quick break here on the program. Great job, Grayson.
At Tri-County Technical College, they're committed to you as they look to transform lives and build strong communities. Tri-County's academic and training programs help them stay ahead of the trends in the business and corporate worlds to ensure you'll be well-equipped to succeed on the career path you choose. From advanced manufacturing to computers and IT, healthcare to skilled trades and more, TCTC is committed to your success. To find out more, visit one of their 4 campuses or go online at tctc.edu.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Injured at work? You don't have to face it alone. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we fight to get you the workers' compensation you deserve. Medical bills, lost wages, and stress. Let us take that burden off your shoulders. With years of experience and real results, Smith Jordan Law is here for you. Call us today at Smith Jordan Law Firm at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Smith Jordan Law, protecting injured workers every step of the way. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Ready to ditch a workout that involves just lifting heavy things? Or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym, where strength and flexibility meet problem-solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. Blockhaven has over 200 rotating routes for beginners to Olympic climbers. Visit Blockhaven at the Judson Mill District in Greenville or online at blochaven.com.
Hey Tiger fans, I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
The way golf was meant to be, a natural, beautiful trip through nature. You'll discover it at Chickasaw Point in Westminster, South Carolina, in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Dine in the Overlook Restaurant, open Thursday through Sunday, ChickasawPointGolf.com.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
When the line goes down, minutes matter. Industrial Motor Service has your back with expert motor, pump, and gearbox service. Whether it's a repair or a replacement, Industrial Motor Service has you covered. For over 35 years, maintenance teams across the upstate have trusted IMS for fast turnarounds, reliable workmanship, and 24/7 support. Because downtime isn't just lost time, it's lost production. IMS, keeping the upstate running since 1989. Learn more at industrialmotorservice.com.
Discover unbeatable value at Mattress Max Furniture, where comfort meets affordability. Transform your home with our wide selection of stylish, high-quality furniture and mattresses, all at prices you'll love. Whether you're looking to upgrade your living room, bedroom, or dining area, we have everything you need to create the perfect space. Don't miss out on our exclusive deals and promotions. Shop now at Mattress Max Furniture and experience comfort and savings like never before. Visit us today in Spartanburg or online at mattressmaxfurniture.com and make your home a haven.
Your family will delight in the locally sourced beef and other foods from A&PM Farms. Their beef is raised naturally with no hormones or vaccines, making its way from the pasture to their stores. Along with vendor and farm products from 70 vendors, they offer the very best in local food choices. Platt and Ashley Moore and their team invite you to A&PM Farms, 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville, and next to Farmhouse Tacos in Traveler's Rest. Online at ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in, everybody. It's the final segment of the program here on a Thursday with Faxon Childress and John Hyde on 105.5-97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and Adams & Co. Roofing text line will be open in the final segment as we go around the horn. We bounced all over the place today. We did a little bit of Clemson content and breakdown with some grades and such in the last segment. And yeah, everybody's entitled to their opinion, right? There's some people that are going to agree. There's some people that are going to disagree. And everybody's evaluation process is different as well. So my advice to the audience would be take what you hear here and apply it with how you want to evaluate and do your own research and tell me what you're watching with your eyes as well, because we love to hear you guys' opinions and you guys' breakdowns on everything just as much as we love to hear ourselves talk. So, John, on that note, run us through around the horn here. We got about 10 minutes left, and we've already talked a ton of Thursday Night Football, so I don't want to talk about that.
No, we're not getting to Thursday Night Football. I want to try to get ahead of something before William Quackenbush gets in the building. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I do not want my Pirates to keep beating your Reds right now as the Reds are trying to clinch postseason a postseason opportunity. So before Quack gets in here and starts slandering my name in about 15 minutes at the start of Out of Bounds, I just wanted to come out here and say I am sorry. Because I do not want to see this Pirates team continue to stack wins on the back end of another meaningless baseball season. When someone that I know could actually find joy in baseball postseason. So I'm sorry, Quack. I hope the Reds win this afternoon. Should make for decent radio because I believe that's a 12:40 first pitch.
Yeah, it is a 12:40 first pitch. So getting Quack with the playoff spot on the line live on air, that's going to be cinema.
Be sure to tune in.
Yeah, for sure. I do think
good luck, Ben, for keeping him reined in.
Nick Lodolo, we need you today for the Cincinnati Reds. We need you, Nick Lodolo. Come through for us. A couple texters are getting in on the Kentucky-South Carolina game. Do you have any like extensive thoughts on that? I know we haven't covered that so far this week, and we're kind of saving it for tomorrow, but both of those teams are kind of a train wreck right now. And that's speaking from a train wreck.
Yes, we know because we're currently...
we had to live in it for 3 weeks.
Right now.
Yeah, right?
I took South Carolina in the contest, and I will get into more of some of that tomorrow. I have a little bit of... It wasn't a comfortable selection. South Carolina is being very disjointed right now. They're not playing great complimentary football, but I do believe at home, under the lights, that with the crowd behind them, they should be able to get things done. Kentucky, yes, they are 2-1, but you have a close win over Toledo and a blowout win over Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan is really, really bad. I don't love this program. I don't love the direction that they're going in. I think this program has been deflated ever since the late night decision by Mark Stoops to take the A&M job, and then it quickly fell apart from him. I just feel like all the mojo around Kentucky football has completely left them since that moment. I don't feel great about South Carolina this season, but I do feel pretty good about the Gamecocks in this spot.
I like South Carolina in this spot. Again, neither of us were super high on this team in the preseason for reasons that have been outlined in real time. You lost a ton of personnel on the defensive side of the football. Your play caller QB combo has not been able to get on the same page a single time this season. And then to further that point, your running back room's been atrocious. Like, that was my biggest concern with South Carolina was O-line, trenches, run game. Didn't think they were going to be able to produce, and they haven't thus far. If there's one thing I'll say about Kentucky where I got to give credit, I always think their defense is really freaking good, man. And I think this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out, slugfest of a fight that South Carolina scores a late touchdown to pull away and wins it 20-10. That's serious.
You think it's going to be very similar to the South Carolina-Virginia Tech game back in week one?
Yes. Like, I think that maybe we get a special teams touchdown with some Beamer ball. I don't trust South Carolina to move the ball on the JV team down the road, much less a Kentucky defense that I view in a very high regard. But with that being said, if there's a worse offense in the SEC right now than South Carolina, it's certainly Kentucky. So I'm back in Carolina here to cover by a touchdown. I took them in the contest as well, and I think South Carolina does a good job on the defensive side of the ball. Clayton White's kind of reinvented himself as the coordinator there, and I really like the things that they've been able to accomplish. I also do think it's probably worth acknowledging that Kentucky played Ole Miss really close, and while that was with Austin Simmons, that's still a quality opponent that's proven that thus far. Give me South Carolina 20-10 over Kentucky.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close competitive football game, but I do like South Carolina to cover the number at home.
Yeah.
I think Kentucky is very broken. Now, I am willing to give a little bit of pause as to what Cutter Bowley is at quarterback. You know, he got the start there against Eastern Michigan. Thought he was pretty decent, but, you know, wasn't necessarily elite. Be curious to see now with him kind of getting the lion's share of the reps there moving forward, what it looks like here.
Yeah, definitely intrigued by that as well. Elsewhere in the world of college football on the upcoming weekend, I want to give a little bit of credit and love to a game tomorrow night that I'm actually really excited for. Am I the only one that's really excited for TCU Arizona State on Fox at 9 p.m.?
Oh, no, I'm very excited for it. I just wonder if I'm going to be able to stay awake for much of it.
Dude, Sam Levitt, Josh Hoover, two of the best quarterbacks in the country, Big 12 championship could be on the line. Like, these are two teams that have those aspirations in this league. This is a big-time matchup on Fox tomorrow after the Virginia and Florida State matchup. Who you got and why?
Oh, I like TCU here. I think Hoover is playing the best quarterback in the Big 12 right now. I think that offense is clicking. I think they have a bevy of wide receivers. Sonny Dykes is, I think, with Bryles there, calling very good ball plays. I'm not, like, anti-Arizona State by any means. They pulled off a nice win against Baylor last week that I did not see coming. I think this TCU offense may be one of, if not the best, in the Big 12. It's certainly up there right now. You know, as we're now wading into conference play, some of the data will stabilize itself a little bit. But, no, I like Hoover in this passing attack here. The question is, what point in time will you be cutting into this game?
Show me the score on ESPN. That is an entirely score-related decision.
If that's
a barn burner at Scott Stadium in Charlottesville, I'm watching it all the way through, or maybe I'll pull up a little YouTube TV double screen. If this is Florida State by 20-plus tomorrow night, then, yeah, I'm getting up out of there at 9 p.m.
But if Virginia's got a fight?
If Virginia's got a fight, I'm glued to Florida State. I can guarantee that. That's got ACC implications.
Well, that's Southeast football.
It's regional bias from me. Yes, Southeast football just means more. And whether that be ACC, SEC, SoCon, I'm repping the Southeast with football. That's for certain.
It's kind of tough, though, to say that the ACC's in the Southeast with Boston and California being represented.
Man, you can blame Jim Phillips for that and not me. I want Maryland back. So that just goes to show
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I remember having to share stadiums with those Maryland fans. I'm fine.
Let me drop two grenades with 4 minutes left in the program that people can't kill me for too much on the way out the door. First grenade, I told Nick Costello off the air earlier, college football is objectively better when Florida State is good. I know we relished in it last year. I know we had our fun. I know we poked our jokes. This league needs it. This country needs it. There's something different about playing football in Tallahassee, and I group that in the same way that I would say for Clemson if I were rooting for a rival of Clemson, right? Clemson and Florida State's got more juice when Florida State's good. Remember that buzz when they were coming into Death Valley a couple years ago? That game was freaking hype. Game's going to be hype this year, even with Clemson underperforming. I like college football more when Florida State's good. Feel free to push back.
I just disagree. They're a rival. I like it when they lose. I enjoy Seminole Ted Knowles fan. You know, our Florida State callers, we have, you know, a lot of good conversations with them. But no, you're, to me, like, from a rivalry standpoint, that's right behind South Carolina for me, like, with Clemson. So,
oh, I'm not saying I like the guys. I'm not saying I like the guys at all. I just think overall, college football is better when Clemson has elite competition in the ACC. In the last decade plus, it's been Florida State. And there's
There's elite competition in the ACC. The problem right now is Clemson is not elite competition in the ACC.
Very, very true. The second thing I would say is I'm firmly of the belief that Maryland should still be in this league. I know I might be in the minority there.
We will never agree on that.
I hate Steve Blake. I hate Grievous Vasquez. They terrorize me as a child. I understand that. I will forever cherish the Sammy Watkins kick return up at Maryland. I don't know. It's maybe nostalgia bias. It's what I grew up on, right? I grew up on an ACC with Maryland, their departure. Now we got freaking Cal and Stanford. Like, give me a break.
Oh, I'm not saying that the replacements have been much better. But, you know, having attended several Clemson, Maryland sporting events over my time when I was a student, I'm good.
Game not on the contest at noon on ESPN on Saturday. The Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech. They look to stay undefeated on the road against the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Wake, really good first half, terrible second half against NC State. They're looking to put 60 minutes together of football against a quality opponent. Georgia Tech's getting two touchdowns on the road. That seems a little hardy to me. I think people, again, I'm really, really confident in my Wake Forest preseason take after watching this football team play. Do you know who's given their quarterback the most time to throw in the country on dropbacks right now? Wake Forest. Think about that. Wake Forest is giving their quarterback the most time to throw in the country, which just further showcases Robbie Ashford, brother. It's time to find something else as a profession. Like, just to be completely blunt, Deshaun Purdy needs to be the starting quarterback at Winston-Salem as soon as humanly possible for an onslaught of reasons. I don't think Wake's going to win this game. I didn't book in to win for them in this game in the preseason with my evaluation, but I do think there's a chance they keep it within two touchdowns because their lines of scrimmage play and their defense has been pretty darn good so far this season. Their offense with Ashford has been putrid. You have to get Purdy on the field.
At the noon slate on Saturday, what game are you looking forward to the most to watching?
Ooh, can I give kind of a precursor to what my picks are going to be for tomorrow?
Sure.
I think Arkansas is beating Notre Dame. I think Talen Green is going to light them on fire. I think Arkansas might score 40 on Notre Dame. I'm being dead serious. Arkansas team total over to the moon. That Notre Dame defense is broken, man. Purdue marched it up and down on them. They can't tackle. They gave up 41 to A&M. If Miami didn't go full-blown Cristobal choke conservative, they could have got to 35. I think there's a good chance Arkansas gets to 40. Now, I'm not investing stock in the defense in Fayetteville. Goodness gracious. They got lit on fire in back-to-back weeks. But I think this is going to be another shootout. And after how we saw Notre Dame play last season, isn't it such a funny contrast how they've changed so drastically identity-wise?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think they're changing. They don't have much of a choice right now, identity-wise.
I'm also looking forward to Lincoln Riley versus Brett Bielema in your classic Southern Cal-Illinois Big Ten clash in Champaign. Right? Coming across the country, fight on, Lincoln.
Duke-Syracuse for me, man.
Duke-Syracuse?
I want to see if Syracuse can bring it 2 weeks in a row.
Facts. I feel so bad for Angeli, man. That kid's such a good player, but it's going to be the LSU transfer. Ricky Collins taking the keys to the kingdom there for Fran Brown. That's going to be a good one up in the JMA Wireless Dome. John, great job on the program. Nick, great job doing your intern work. We appreciate you. Quack and Ben up next with Out of Bounds.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM.